Well, sadly, Judas will forever be a name associated with betrayal, with treachery, with handing over the innocent Jesus to sinful men who would then see to his death. Tonight, we will begin by looking at and through the betraying eyes of Judas himself. But what we first must understand is that it's most important for us to also take a hard look at ourselves. We need to take a hard look at ourselves because we're also guilty of betraying Jesus. And then we need to fix our eyes on Jesus, who died for all sinners, including Judas, including you, including me. St. Mark writes, "Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus to them." Now, Mark's mention that Judas was one of the 12 highlights the deeply personal nature of his treachery and the brazenness of his betrayal. I mean, it wasn't some stranger that betrayed Jesus. It was one of the 12, one of the intimate inside servants of Jesus. That's right, Judas had been chosen out of countless Jewish men to be one of the 12 apostles, a select group who had the privilege of being in the inner circle of God's Son for 3 entire years. And so Judas knew firsthand of the love and the mercy of Jesus. Judas had witnessed Jesus perform countless miracles. Judas had heard the Beatitudes again and again. Judas had heard the parable about the rich fool and warnings about greed drummed into his ears. Judas had gone out and preached in Jesus' name. Judas had heard the warnings about those who preached in the Lord's name, but are also shocked on the day of judgment to find out that their unbelief has landed them in hell, and no amount of their good works can make up for their sin. So, if you want to see Exhibit 1 of someone who had all the right things taught to him, but then rejected it all, it was Judas. Judas had sought out the chief priests with an offer. The offer was to hand Jesus over to them. And the Jewish leaders, well, they were seeking an inconspicuous location to arrest Jesus. And Judas would provide them with the ideal opportunity. It would happen in the middle of the night in an isolated garden. And as we know from the other Gospels, Judas was a greedy man. He was even a thief. So he must have looked at this betrayal as an opportunity to line his pockets. Well, Judas's plan was in place, but first, he had to wait through the preparation for the Passover meal and also stay for part of the meal itself. And then at dinner, unbeknownst to everybody, including Judas, Jesus drops this bomb. Jesus says to the 12, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." Now try to picture what the 26 eyes of that table were doing at that moment. Jesus seems to be calmly looking around at the 12, knowing by his divine omniscience exactly who will betray him, but not giving anything away. Mark then writes, "They," the apostles, "began to be sorrowful and to say to Jesus one after another, 'Is it I?'" You can picture them looking around the room with suspicion, wondering, who could it be? You can picture the tears streaming down some of the faces, expressing the utter grief at what Jesus was suggesting. But what were Judas's eyes doing? Did he look down with shame? Did he nervously glance around to see if he was suspected? Did he put on a good show and act like the rest of the apostles? Well, we don't know for sure. But what's striking about Mark's account of this scene is that Jesus doesn't name Judas. We don't hear that the traitor is Judas, not until the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, why do you suppose that is? Well, perhaps Jesus wanted each one of the 12 to examine himself and see if he had the capability to betray innocent blood, to commit treason against his Lord. Likewise, tonight, Jesus wants each one of us to examine our own loyalty to the Lord. Now, immediately we might be tempted to say, wait a minute, hold on, Pastor. I mean, I'm nothing like Judas. I would never have betrayed Jesus. And we say that so easily, don't we? But think about it. Every time we nurture an evil thought in our head, every time we decide to fulfill an evil desire, even though we know God says it's wrong, every time we say things that are in conflict with what God would have us say and how we should speak, whenever we fail to do the good that God wants us to do, whenever we sin against God, even though we know we're rebelling against His will, we're betraying Him. We're no better than Judas in the end. The famous classical musician Johann Sebastian Bach is well known for his musical setting called St. Matthew's Passion. It's a musical number that focuses on the night known as the Last Supper. Now, when this musical gets to the section in which Jesus announces that the betrayer is at the table, part of the chorus sings the word of each of the disciples, asking if he is the betrayer. So they sing, "Lord, is it I?" Over and over again they sing, "Lord, is it I?" And then after that comes a confession to Jesus in the form of a chorale sung by the whole chorus. And now, I want you to listen to the words that they sing. "It is I. I should atone. Bound hand and foot in hell. The scourges and the bonds and what you endured, my soul has earned." Did you hear that? In Bach's St. Matthew's Passion, each apostle says, "It is I." Bach gets the Judas story right. Bach highlights the fact that all of us have participated in the sin of Judas. We've all committed treason. We've all turned against our Lord. That's exactly what our sin is. It is betrayal of our King of grace. And if we were to die in our sin without repentance, it would certainly have been better for us to have not been born. But the good news is that God calls us to repentance tonight and to receive forgiveness through His Son. You see, the reason Judas ended up in hell was not because Jesus didn't die for him. He did. The reason Judas ended up in hell is that he didn't take his sin seriously, but worst of all, he didn't come to Jesus with his sin to receive forgiveness. My friends, we need to remember the good news that Jesus spoke in the upper room. He said, "The Son of Man goes as it is written of Him." And then later in the garden, it says, "The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Why is that good news? Because it all happened according to God's plan. One way or another, It was God's will for his son to die, for you, for me, for Judas, for all people. Jesus came specifically for this purpose, to be betrayed and to pour out his holy precious blood and suffer an innocent death to atone for your sin and for Judas's sin and for my sin and for the sin of the whole world. As Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, I will be the first to admit that there are deep heavenly mysteries here beyond our ability to comprehend. For example, Jesus was clear that God knew in advance that Judas would betray him. But the Bible is also clear that God didn't force Judas to betray him. God knew that Judas would do this. God knew that Judas would refuse to repent. But God didn't force Judas to do this. It was Judas's own choice. Judas chose to betray Jesus. Judas refused to trust in Jesus for forgiveness. God knew what would all happen in advance, but it was Judas who made the choice. But here's the amazing thing. God still loved Judas. God still sent his son to die for Judas. There was forgiveness for Judas also, if only Judas would have repented and trusted in his Lord. So, my friends, we need to see that the ultimate mystery that blows our minds is that the Father planned all along to punish his son for our sake. The Father planned all along to hand over his son to death. And the son went willingly. No one forced Jesus to go to the cross. He went there out of love for Judas, for you, for me. In fact, the Greek verb from Mark's gospel that we translate as betray, it also has the simple meaning of to hand over or to deliver to. Now here's what's interesting. If you read Romans chapter 4, verses 24 through 25, it says that faith in Jesus will be counted for righteousness, and it reads, to us who believe in him who raised Jesus from the dead and who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Here, Paul clearly says that God the Father delivered his son over to the cross. So if you ask the historical question, who killed Jesus? I guess some could say, well, the Romans did, and I guess that's true. They did nail Jesus to the cross. Or you could say the Jews did. They're the ones who brought him to Pilate and said, crucify him. You could even make the argument that we did, because it was our sins that put Jesus on the cross. But there's a bigger mystery yet. If you ask the question, who killed Jesus? The biblical answer is his own father. The Father sent his son to the cross for you, for me. And the son went willingly so that we might be forgiven and live as his children forever. So as we stand before God tonight and think about Judas, rather than being self-righteous Pharisees and saying, yeah, that Judas, what a jerk. Too bad he wasn't more like me. No, tonight we must stand before God and say, it is I. We, like Judas, have betrayed our Lord with our many sins against him. But the good news is that in holy baptism, you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Even though we've betrayed him, there is forgiveness for us. So tonight, God is asking you and pleading with you, don't be like Judas. Don't justify your sin. Don't refuse to trust in Jesus. Instead, repent of your sin and then cling to Jesus, who went to the cross to die for you, that you might be forgiven and live now and forever as his dearly loved child. I mean, just think of it. For every time that you've betrayed Jesus, for every time that you have made promises to Jesus that you didn't keep, for all of the commitments to your Lord you failed to keep, remember this. There is forgiveness for you. There is forgiveness for you, even as the words of absolution from your pastor's mouth flow into your ears. Your sins are forgiven. As you remember your baptism, where God says to you, your sins are forgiven. And as you come to this altar tonight, where you hear Jesus say to you through me, take, eat, this is my body given for you. Take, drink, this is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. That verb, that Greek verb that we translate as betraying, but ultimately has the meaning of delivering over. Well, the Apostle Paul also uses that word. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, to be precise, listen to what Paul says. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, delivered bread. That's the actual verb he uses. Did you catch that? We're accustomed to hearing the English, on the night when he was betrayed. But the literal Greek reads, on the night he was delivered. Oh, Judas was the one who betrayed Jesus, but ultimately it was God, the Father, who handed him over, who delivered him to the cross for you and for me, that we might be his own forever. So I want you to leave this place tonight remembering that when it comes to who betrayed Jesus, we all have to say, it is I. But the good news is that Jesus died for traitors like us. Jesus died for us in spite of all the many times we have betrayed him, because that's the kind of God we have. So don't be like Judas. Don't justify your sin. Don't turn away from Jesus. Instead, acknowledge the guilt of your sin and bring it to Jesus, the one who loved you so much that he willingly suffered God's judgment for you, that you might be his own forever. Amen.